Welcome one, welcome all to the Chop Sports Podcast. And of course, your host, Dave Sturch, Joe Sturch, and of course, Chris Gucci Gooch. Bro, we look at all of this nonsense we got going on here. This is new. This is what we've been working all those years for. I stand corrected. All those weeks for. We're moving and grooving here on the Chop Sports Podcast. And dude, I'm telling you right now, what a process it's been just to get here.
Bro, it's been amazing, though. We're here. It's been 5 weeks, we said. Sixth episode.
I think this is, it might be the seventh. I don't know. We're losing track already, but you know what's funny? You said it before. We were having a pre-production meeting with our roommates, have you, our business partners, DJ VW. We're sitting there. We
trashed your set, by the way.
We're looking across the way. We're looking, yeah, it's a mess. But we said it before, you know, we're trying to come up with a good business plan, and you know, we're working with these guys, and I'm telling you right now, they're good dudes. Great podcast, real funny stuff. If you have like a weak stomach and you don't like comedy, don't listen to them because they'll hurt your feelings.
Yeah, definitely. And Jay's a fucking blue belt, but for some reason he needs a sword to fight us. Like, what the fuck was that about?
Yeah, dude.
Settle down, blue belt.
Making threats. We're making threats already. Yeah, he said he was going to chop our heads off for sitting in his chair. And I did him a favor. I said, I'll leave your set the way it is just so I don't have to move or anything around. And so I was doing him a favor. And then he's telling me he's going to, you know, chop my head off and dunk his balls in my Cowboys helmet here. And like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's iffy. It is iffy. But hey, dude, look, we're here. And it's awesome, and I'm already having a great time. The move-in process was seamless. We were in here last week. Actually, we recorded last week's episode, and then we moved in, like, two hours later. So, bro, we had what? Like, and not even kidding you, a five-year hiatus of even talking as friends?
Yeah, we didn't even speak to each other. The first time we spoke was probably 3 days before we recorded the first podcast.
I think it was around, like, Christmas time, where you're just like, you had these ideas, and then the other day you sent me that the picture message of your notes.
Bro,
you've been just cooking this up for as long as you have, and then all of a sudden I came in to Chop Sports. Again, I'll give credit to Duke. I don't like to do that all the time, but I will give credit. Yeah, I put something up on my own personal Facebook, and he's like, you gotta put this in Chop Sports. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Turns out I go in there and I'm just like blown away. It's like looking at, like, you know, you're walking into Disney World for the first time and you're just seeing all the lights and the characters and all this other crap. And it was awesome. And I knew there was something more. The Danimal. Shout out to number one on the Chop 8. The Chop 8, that's what I'll call them. Instead of the Top 8, I know Dags had mentioned that we were starting a MySpace all over again. And by the way, for the record, MySpace was so much better.
Tom is the fucking GOAT.
Dude. Tom is the GOAT. That, now there's more. Yes, that is a clip. Here. Now we got that one on clip. Yeah, no, he's literally sweating. Beads of sweat.
No, I'm just nervous because the whole production.
Yeah, I know, but like, seriously, as soon as you got caught saying Tom's the GOAT, it was a wrap. But, yeah, I know, that one's going to sting. So we're here. We're not officially launching television yet. That'll be Chop Sports TV. That's going to come on YouTube. Before you know it, it'll be launched probably in the spring. We are going to do some collaborations with DJ VW. We are going to do a fight companion for the next UFC fight. Another UFC fight comes and goes, by the way. And I can't do this 12:40 a.m. start of the main event anymore, man. I can't, like, I'm only 35, so I'm not like prehistoric, but like, I can't do it anymore, dude.
I did Valentine's Day yesterday. That's why I'm here today.
You're allowed to be here today.
Definitely, I'm kind of allowed.
Ash, she's in the hallway right now doing other things. Shout out, Ash Fit.
But no, I didn't get to watch the UFC card, but I did get to see that fucking stare down. Dude, that shit was intense. Yeah. I know you're not an Usman guy, and I'm not either. He's fucking,
you know what? I don't know. Maybe being such a Colby head, I've grown to just really, really dislike.
Dude, Usman's confusing. Cringe as fuck. Like, is he like grateful for his fans? Does he hate his fans?
Yeah, you had to hear, like, when he won the fight. You know, he gets the finish. He wins the fight. He's running around the cage, beating his chest. You know, I'm the man. Put respect on my name. MF this, MF that. Cursing up a storm. And then he's talking to Rogan. He's like, God bless you. Hey, baby girl, I'm coming home. I love you. Daddy's coming home with a shiny new belt.
Feel the pain, though, for Dorino. The agony of defeat.
Oh, dude, that was rough.
Put everything into the title. It's like, that's what it really
is. Yeah, dude. I mean, that whole, first of all, shout out to that embedded series, man. That is some awesome shit. Every fight.
The Paige Van Zandt episodes, though.
I mean, I didn't. I didn't watch him. I didn't watch him. That girl can care the F less about MMA and UFC. She really can.
You see her bare knuckle fight?
I did.
Yeah.
I actually. I
mean, like, it was boring.
I didn't see that when I saw the Jose. I preferred to watch Jose Canseco take a dive before I watched. But shout out to my boy Brett, who hooked it up and shot a FaceTime. So I didn't have to order it. So
what I tried to do.
He FaceTimed me and I watched it and I was just like.
What fight was it? Or was it the playoff game? I tried to set up the live.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, because when CBS went out for however long and all of a sudden there was just
I thought
like,
I was fucking coming to the rescue. Everyone just saw like a close up of my bulging nuts instead of like I had the camera angle wrong. It was all fucked up.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That was good times. But actually, you know, it's funny as we record this, it is the first Sunday without football.
I know.
And it's depressing.
Bro, what's today? What's today's date? The 14th?
The 14th. It's Valentine's Day.
So
as we're
3 days,
this.
Basically. What? 15, 16, 3 days, pitchers and catchers. 3 days.
There you go. All right. So look, there are things to look forward to, which is thank God. But, you know, there's the Capitan. As you look around the new set, you know, you got our logo. You got the Chop Sports logo. Right, the GOAT of all time tight ends right behind me. Jason Witten, one of the GOATs of all time quarterbacks. I mean, we got.
Bro, Bubba Franks is the fucking best tight end of all time. I have no idea what
I thought you were
going to
say Mark Chamora.
Mark Chamora, he belongs in the YT gang. He's a little sketchy. He's on the list. Pretty sure Mark Chamora is on
the
list.
YT gang? You're sketchy. That's what you are.
Oh, no.
But, football season's over. It's depressing. But. Last week, right before we hit the weekend, you know, they have to make headlines in some way, shape, or form. You know, J.J. Watt, man. Like, what? I was actually in the parking lot of Ayers Nutrition, which they're not a sponsor. But, I try to promote small business because that's what we're doing. I was in the parking lot waiting for them to open because I got there before 10. They open at 10. And I get my phone blows up. And I'm like, just like that. Just like that all day long. It just, I got the notification. Actually, I didn't get a notification. I got I saw the live video that Watt put out saying that he's asked for his release. And I'm just like, what? You know, I understand things are rough in Houston, but Jesus Christ, like that's going to happen. And it happened. They mutually agreed to part ways. And
like the Stafford thing and like nobody's talking shit.
It draws the attention this way. Why was it so easy for him to get out of Houston? It's taking Watson like this arm and a leg. They're both. I mean, look, the value is not the same. It's not.
I think that you answered the question yourself right there.
Okay.
Like, you know, Watson just signed this contract in last offseason.
Right.
He's got a lot of money left, a lot of guaranteed money left. His best days are probably in front of him.
Right.
And I think we could both agree, as much as I know you're a J.J. Watt guy.
I am.
His best days are clearly behind him.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
My brother said the same thing. He's like, is he healthy all the time? And I said, no. I mean, last year he played all 16.
He's bringing things to the table that, you know, but I think
from a leadership standpoint,
anymore, you know,
from a leadership standpoint and a guy in the locker room and a guy in the sidelines that's going to pump you up. That's the guy you want on your team. Now, how much is it going to cost? Both of our teams have already been rumored. You know, you're a Packers guy. I'm a Cowboys guy. We've both
been
linked.
I've been hearing the JJ Watt rumors for my entire fucking, his entire career. I've always liked Watt. Never at the cost that it would have cost crazy amount to get him from the Texans. But now you want him?
Yeah.
I know you want him.
You hear me, Jay?
I said like,
JJ, not only is DeMarcus Lawrence, listen to my voice. Come to Dallas. It's the nicest city you've ever seen. Houston is a dump. Come to Dallas. You don't even have to be the
Houston
number one guy.
Fucking dump,
you don't even have to be the number one guy, man. D-Law is the number one guy. Just take on the other tackle. That's no big deal. We'll even get you a rotation.
Do you think that he's a number two guy right now?
Yes.
I say that he's a rotation guy. Like, especially, he's definitely not a three-down guy.
If
right
I'm
now.
Playing Madden and J.J. Watt is my second defensive end, I'm all for
what
it.
What are you paying him?
Well, that's another story.
Yeah. Now we're talking about number two guys in the league get paid.
Right.
You know, so I don't think Watt's a two guy.
No, probably not. But you would think, all right, the two teams that we mentioned are rumored, but then you have the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Obvious.
Which is, he would be linking up with his brother. And, you know, I guess for storyline reasons, that's awesome. I think he wants to win now, right? I mean, he's not going to another team that needs to rebuild. You know what I'm saying? So that's not happening.
Where would you put Pittsburgh? Are they on a rebuild?
That's if Big Ben sticks around. If Big Ben sticks around and plays another year.
There could be an argument made that
But you don't even know who they're throwing the ball to. Juju's on his way out, which thank God
I think that they're built around defense, though. So you add a guy like Watt, I think that's the role where he flourishes in most because, you know, they got Dupree, they got his brother. So he comes in.
And he's like, he's a role player, but he doesn't have to be. This is the reason why I said this. He doesn't have to be the focal point. And I think that's where he's going to flourish.
But I think on Dallas, he'll be asked to do a lot more.
It's possible.
That could be what runs him into the ground. I just think Pittsburgh all the way. I think that he would consider playing for Pittsburgh for fucking free. Doesn't his other brother play there? I don't mean for free, but like you get
if it's Penn, but if it's pennies and he wants to win now, then Pittsburgh's not the place. I don't think you're telling me Pittsburgh is a JJ Watt away from being in the AFC title game.
No, I mean, well, they were a win away from being in the fucking AFC title game this season. No,
yeah, but they got the fucking doors blown off them by the Cleveland Browns. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot more holes. There's no running back, no consistent running back, and I'm sorry, James Conner's not the guy.
Well,
he's not the guy.
I hate to break it to you, Dave, but if he's looking to win a ring, I don't know if Dallas is the place next year either.
This guy.
And I'm not talking shit. We're just being we're being objective here.
We also didn't have our quarterback. Speaking of the quarterback. Okay. I heard a rumor today, and I took to Twitter, and it's already gotten some steam. I heard a rumor today that Dak Prescott was going to be cut in June. Cut. Not traded. Not franchise tag.
I don't think that you can trade him now.
He has to sign the tag first. Yeah. But wait a minute. Are we really talking here? Is this where we're at, Dallas? Like, or is this where we're going
posturing.
With this?
It's posturing. They want the agent to think that they're willing to lose him.
That's garbage. That is garbage.
You run the risk of actually losing.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, what if he does? Bye-bye. You know, you franchise tag this kid one more time. He is out the door next year. So you better have a plan. Because right now, truth be told, Andy Dalton's a free agent too. They don't have their quarterback is Garrett Gilbert and Ben DiNucci. Garrett Gilbert almost beat those Steelers.
They lose Dak.
Yeah.
And obviously Dalton's
don't,
not the
don't put that in
let's
the
just
universe.
Say, like, now, don't you think it would be kind of smarter to act pre-draft on all this? Because I don't think that's going to happen with the Dak situation.
The Cowboys hold the 10th pick. So
they're going to pick a quarterback.
No. See why? It's our first one in the new studio. I was having us in a good mood, and now you're telling me that the Dallas Cowboys are going to take a quarterback at 10?
Coming from fucking someone whose team just takes quarterbacks for no apparent reason.
Yeah, for real.
Whatsoever.
Like, of all people.
I'm not fucking talking
Jordan
shit.
Jordan Love may not see the field until 2025.
I'm saying that, like, you know, that would send such a crazy message. I'm so popular. That would send such a crazy message. I don't even know why my phone is on loud. I've never had my phone on loud.
You know what's funny?
Is that what it's called, on loud?
I don't know. Do you see those commercials where it's like, everybody put their phone on silent, and the one lady's like, I don't have silent. He's like, and everybody like,
has
silent.
I hold
silent.
My phone up, okay, boomer, why is your flashlight still on? Yeah. Like, I can't figure this out.
That's definitely. But in any event.
What the fuck is an airdrop? Figure that out yesterday while we were.
Oh man, like how can I get that file to that machine? That's what we did. And they're like, wait a minute, there's an airdrop. So hey, listen, we're old people, but we're still tech savvy. And we still look. If it wasn't for you, I'll give you credit. We wouldn't be sounding the way we do. We wouldn't be, you know, getting the commercials and all this other shit. Like tech savvy man 101 here.
Well, no. We're getting there. So yo, if you need what is it? I'm tech savvy now. So yeah. If you need any tech work done, I'm your guy. You know, $50 an hour. And
oh, he's got a rate. Hey, listen, You never know. But look, big episode this episode.
Before we go to break,
yeah.
Where does Watt sign? What's your prediction? Mine's Steelers.
Mine is the Steelers too. All right, just so because it makes more sense.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, of course. But before we go to break, big episode. Marquette King has decided to come on to the Chop Sports podcast. We had a great sit down with this guy. He's looking to get back into the league, but if it doesn't happen, he's willing to put the music career on blast and do his thing his way. A fantastic interview coming up next, right after the break.
Health and Fitness Professionals is your one-stop shop to have you maintain a healthy lifestyle and achieve your goals fast and effectively. We now offer pain management, physical therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture, occupational therapy, and cryotherapy. With state-of-the-art equipment and innovative exercises, we pride ourselves in designing a unique treatment plan and are committed to making you feel your best. Call one of our three locations today and schedule your first evaluation. Battle Rattle Woodworks is a veteran-owned small business with Jersey roots, specializing in charcuterie boards, live-edge furniture, and epoxy river tables. Each piece is handcrafted, fully customizable, and American-made. Battle Rattle Woodworks prides itself on quality and customer service. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Battle Rattle Woodworks. Help support your local small veteran-owned business.
All right, the Chop Sports Podcast is very, very pleased and honored to be joined by Marquette King. Dude, first of all, thank you for joining us. I mean, look, you got me, Sturch, and Gooch, massive, massive fans at heart. Listen, I'll be honest right away. We have our allegiances, okay? I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Gooch has Aaron Rodgers in the background, okay? But at the first and foremost, we are football fans, right? And when I look at your career right away, I look at it like, growing up, I'm a massive, massive Deion Sanders fan, okay? You don't find another flashier guy in the NFL than Deion Sanders in his prime. That's why, again, prime, right? So now I looked at you in the same light. You brought some electricity to the game in a position where you would think that it's not supposed to have that kind of publicity. So, between you, Pat McAfee, guys like that, you started to embrace your talent on the field and started to really show the world that you're not just a robot.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me, first of all, coming in as an undrafted free agent, does that kind of give you right away that chip that I'm going to prove everybody wrong right away?
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people underestimated me, especially when I got to that point. And it's just so aggravating because it's like you think people are rooting for you, but then on another side, it's like they don't believe in you too. So it kind of created that chip on my shoulder, especially bringing me in with Shane Leckler. Man, I was like, I don't know. It was tough. But once I started getting better and better and putting in more work and everything, it just got easier.
Now, it's funny. Gooch, I know you were telling me right in pre, you gave me a great story about why Marquette decided to be a punter. You would think he's so athletic. He's got this build. Why punter, right? What were you saying, Gooch?
I was looking into that, and I saw that it was about you were a receiver in high school and you were looking to get some extra work after practice. That's something that I'm sure most athletes could relate to. And there just wasn't a teammate there. So you said, what could I do on my own?
Yeah.
I wanted you to touch on that a little bit because a lot of people I know think like, oh, I'm just going to make my son kick his whole life. And they kick it in the NFL. And that's like one of the notions. You hear that on Football Sunday all the time. And I wanted to, have you touch on that a little bit, that it's a lot more than that, man. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more than that. You just gotta do it, man. You just gotta go out there, put the work in. And my goal was to put so much work in to where I couldn't mess up. Like I worked so hard, I do all these drills to where I couldn't mess up. Even when I was a receiver, I would set up cones, play my music, and just run cones, try to perfect those routes, and just try to be the best at running routes. Like I didn't have a quarterback, so I'm like, I might as well work on something where I don't have to depend on anybody to help me out. And then that's when I started getting into punting because I got so bored from running routes. Then I was like, all right, well, what else can I do? And I just kicked the ball.
And then you continue to put in the work. And listen, like I said, we're fans at heart. We're watching the Instagram and we're trying to figure it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Gooch, you dug up the numbers. What was the league average this year?
Yeah, the league average this year was like 50, a little over 50 yards. And I'm looking at your career averages, dude. You'd rank like fourth right now. What's going on? Why? I'm so confused. I'm with Green Bay, bro. What's up?
I know.
I'll tell you right now, before you answer that, Marquette, when I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, I write for the team. I tell you right now, we had our punter go down, right?
Yeah.
The first thing I said, somebody get King on the phone and get him to Dallas. And it felt like we brought up a practice squad guy. Something's going on here, Marquette. And if that's something you want to touch on, like, what is going on? I mean, look, you the last time you punted in the NFL was 2018. Obviously, you still put the work in. You got signed by the Battle Hawks. You're in the XFL. The XFL goes on a hiatus because of Corona. Like, obviously, the chips are starting to fall in different places. Yeah. But tell me, what is the deal?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. I kind of got my thoughts. At the same time, I honestly feel like, I don't know, maybe over the amount of years where, I don't know, you love what I do. You love my personality. But then some people don't like it, and they try to find a way to make it.
Now, I want to say what you don't want to say right now, and it's And it's like they the NFL, the executives, they want someone to catch the snap, punt the ball, and leave the field. And that's what I think it is out of the punter position. Like, I disagree with it. I had to argue with a couple people, mainly my father, to be honest. He's like, what's going on out there? I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? I love that. It's great. Yeah. I'm actually friends with a Raider fan. And every time the Raiders would punt, I would be like, yo, this is great. Marquette King's coming out. And he'd be like, what are you so excited for? I'm like, he's the man. What are you talking about?
It was literally must-see television.
I think what GMs, what coaches need to do is they need to take time to, like, just get to know who I am. I feel like people have created this, however they see me as, from reading media stuff and from listening to other people. And you also got to remember too, sometimes other people don't have your best interest at heart. So let's say if I'm trying to get somebody that was on your team and you don't want me to have them, then I can say something negative about them or whatever, just to make sure that, or you can say something negative to make sure I don't get to them. And I'm like, oh, I don't like him because of how you describe him. Well, he's just a bad person. You can't do that. And like I said, I just think people just need to take time to get to know who I am. Let's go get a glass of wine. Let's chat. Like, if you think I'm that much of a problem, come hang out with me and get to see who I am.
You mentioned the coaches, and I was also looking into how your college experience at Fort Valley State. Same kind of situation that was going on in high school, I'm understanding, right? Like, you were approached by your coaches. They found out you were doing the work by yourself, and then what happened from there? I'm gonna let you tell the story, because I found it really interesting. Talk about coaches who care.
Yeah, man, I had some amazing coaches, man. Like, my favorite coaches were like the old school coaches that, like, they understood people. Like, I went to go see Gary Zonner a couple of weeks ago. We were just chatting and stuff, and he's got an old school vibe. He's very well known in the kicking world, along with some of the other cool names. But he's very well known, and he was just, I don't know, he appreciates the player, like, who the person is. But, my coaches just gave me whatever I needed that I thought I needed to get better. Like, if I needed a ladder, they let me borrow a ladder. Sometimes I used to break into the weight room in college just so I can get extra work in and, fit in my house.
Were they really going to pull that scholarship, or was that just a little light the fire?
No, they were really finna pull the scholarship.
They
said, if I didn't want to punt, they were going to take the scholarship away.
You were like, I'm going to make this fun then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, man, all right, well, since I can't play receiver, I'll just be a receiver that kicks the ball then. Let's go. I have my little arm beards.
Yeah, I always used to say that. You know, it's funny you bring that up. I always used to say that about the kicker for the Ravens, Justin Tucker. He goes out there with wristbands. And I'm just like, why?
You know? Hey, it's style, man. It's style. You look good, you kick good, you know?
Yeah, that's a Deion line. That's perfect. Yeah. You know, that's perfect. Now, with the transition after Denver, you know, they release you after the injury, they settle out with you, and then the XFL is rebranded, reborn, right? In that transition, and I speak to this because I know for a fact you can speak on this as well. Mental health is a massive thing for me. I've been an advocate for about 3 or 4 years now. That transition from being in the biggest of spotlight in the NFL, the juggernaut that is, right? And then transitioning over to the XFL. Take me through that process.
I don't think it was just that. I think the thing that got me down was knowing that it's no loyalty in the NFL, and which is aggravating, depending on who you are as a player, I guess, right. Depending on who you are. But it's no loyalty. And the thing that hurt me was how I felt like, I don't know, maybe when I was with the Raiders, I thought I had a chance to be at the Raiders. And I thought I had a chance to stay with the Broncos. And it just didn't work out. So going to the XFL, it was definitely tough because I knew I didn't belong there. I just know statistically.
Like, clearly, look at the numbers.
Look at some of the players. You know, look at
Raiders
some of the
fan base. I look
right
at
now.
All your YouTube. The Raiders fan base, Raider Nation's got love for you, bro.
Yeah,
for
they
real.
Got love, man. A lot of love. But like, I just knew I didn't belong in the XFL, and I was so aggravating. Like, some days I'm like, man, do I want to do this anymore? Like, what's the purpose? And it's like, I felt like the whole football ring was against me, especially in the NFL. And it's like, damn, like, I just need a fair shot. Give me a fair shot. And I wasn't getting any bites at the time. So the agent that I was with then was like, hey, you might want to play in the XFL. There's some coaches saying that they want to see you. They don't think you're still able to do it. And I'm like, How? Because I've seen people get picked back up that were that haven't played like
two seasons. Touched on it. The practice squad guys from the Cowboys. Like, I know you ain't he ain't kicking the ball deeper, higher. It's just not.
I'll never forget that 72-yard punt, man. I'll never forget that.
There was an 80-yarder in college, man.
I'm talking about the NFL 2016 with the Raiders. But dude, I'm talking – people always talk about football being a field position game. Who do you think creates the field position? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. What are we talking about here? So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so the XFL, you finally commit to doing it, right? Do you feel like that was the opportunity for you to once again be you, considering it was the new league, had a fresh new start, it had a, you know, an edge to it almost where they were kind of like fan-base driven. Yes. They want to see all the extracurriculars. They want to see a bunch of Marquette Kings is what really, right? They want some entertainment. Man, did that work out for you?
They showed a lot of love. They actually helped me find my love for the game again, because when I was in Denver, when I left Oakland and went to Denver, I lost all my love for the game. Like, I didn't want to play. I did not want to play football. But going there, relit a spark. The people in St. Louis showed a lot of love, and man, they even never seen this in my life, but they created a whole section in the stadium. Like, fans did it. Like, the team that organized it, fans just set up a King's Corner, which is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's like Aaron Judge got one in Yankee Stadium. That's great, bro. Like, you're rare air right there,
man. That was the coolest thing ever, though. But like, the XFL definitely brought back love of the game for me, and it also gave a lot of players, such as myself, to do something, prove themselves that they can still do it too. So I met a lot of good people along the way too.
So now the XFL obviously goes on hiatus. Where's your status right now? I mean, the XFL is going to pick back up. The Rock bought the damn league. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things going on with the XFL. But where do you see yourself? We watch you on social media.
We need you in the league, bro.
Right. We all know. I think it's very apparent that the league is still in play for you. You look at the numbers. Listen, I'd be remiss not to mention the fact that we're recording this. We're in Black History Month. We got 5 black punters in the NFL. What is that a – is that a thing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying
greatest
to
punter of all time, Reggie Roby. If not the greatest, he's my man right there.
He was a beast, man. It's just, you got to bring more diversity to it, man. Since 1939, it's only been 5, but like, it's always been different for each position, especially in the NFL.
Right.
Even with the quarterback around the early 2000s, around then, that's when that kind of movement started with the quarterback position. So, definitely need to bring more awareness to that.
You see it with the offensive coordinators in the league now. Eric Bieniemy can't catch himself a job. It's unbelievable, man, what's going on.
I know, man. It's just
I'm convinced now that Bieniemy is just like, you know, some, I don't know. Does he smell? You know what I mean? Like, what is the deal? Like, what is the problem here? Like, he's literally constructed one of the greatest offenses we've ever seen. You know what I mean? And he's sitting there and he's being passed up by wide receiver coaches who nobody's ever heard of. You know what I mean? So it's definitely frustrating. But you know, the NFL is the juggernaut. I know that's the goal, but I know that Gooch educated me hard over the last couple of years, not just last like 24 hours. He's been telling me about the music career, dude.
Yeah, man.
And I'm telling you right now, I was souped for it. I was like, listen, you will not find a more diverse person than me. I'll go all the way to rap, all the way to country, all the way to this, all the way to that. So when he told me about it, I had to listen, and I was like, well, this is interesting. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with the music, man.
Man, it's going good, man. I actually got a pretty good fan base internationally for sure. It's definitely a little bit tougher to get seen as a musician in the U.S. because of playing football for a while.
Exactly. I was actually going to ask you about that, because there's only a few that I like, and you're definitely one of them. We got, you know, Dame Dollar and Marquette King are my top two.
Come on. It's a little diverse too, so that's what I like about it. I'm not a huge listener of the trendy hip hop music that's out now, but big ups to those artists. Like, they're doing their things. They've become successful with it. But I'm a huge Calvin Harris fan. I like P-Lo as an artist. Like, a lot of West Coast stuff. So I try to make sure my music's diverse, where it can fit anywhere, you know? And it's so fun, because it's actual music I actually like.
Being from Macon, Georgia, that's like a little bit outside Atlanta. Atlanta's right now is like the Mecca. You know, I got some favorites out of there. Like, with the Earth Gang, J.I.D., I'm not sure if you know who they are at all, but like, that's my people out of Atlanta. I love them. That's I was wondering if there's anybody out of Atlanta locally that kind of inspires you, maybe.
Atlanta, I like Future, but I don't. No, it's fun though because like, and even if somebody tries to use that to turn against me, like you can only kick so many amount of footballs a day, and then after that, then I mean you can watch film of kicking, but like ultimately you're just focusing on placing the ball where you need to go. But after that, I need something else to do. Like
I promise you, true story. I worked for the New York Giants in 2007, right? And Jeff Fiegels was their punter at the time.
Yeah.
I used to work practices and he would punt his balls and all of a sudden you would see him walking around with an Xbox controller. And you're like, what are you doing? And he's like, who wants in? And I'm like, wait, you got practice. He's like, practice is over, man. you know what I mean? Like man, that quick. You got to find something. And I'm glad you did because it's very inspirational. And it's very, when you look at the NFL as a whole, you know, obviously there's thousands of players are coming in and out of the league, but not everybody has a plan. You know what I mean? Not everybody has a plan. What happens after the punting stops or after the tackling stops, you know, it seems like you're on the right path as far as trying to spread awareness in so many other platforms.
Yeah, no, I definitely am, man. I mean, because once you get out of the NFL, like even I'm still working on being back in. And the thing about it is once I got out, I didn't know what to do. So it's like, dang, I was in the league this amount of time and I didn't even have a plan for what I could do after. So I was kind of like in this little phase where I was just stuck and I was just at the house every day, sometimes doing nothing. So it's good to have some kind of plan set up for when you're done. So
I think that like I was watching a couple of YouTube videos prepping for the interview and I read something or I heard you say something about how Denver ended up being like a blessing because you ended up meeting somebody who was real pivotal in like getting you started with your music career. And it's kind of crazy how things work out, you know, like you go from a time in your life where you're like, wow, everything is coming down on me. You know, they make you change your mechanics up, you know, maybe a reason why you're even injured to begin with. You're feeling all bet. And then all of a sudden something else comes and opens doors for you. And it's like, it's how life works sometimes.
It does. It does. You're right though. When I thought everything was just crashing down on me and I met Annabelle and that helped fuel that music.
Those features are fire. Annabelle, I was like, oh, who's this? I went and checked out her stuff. She's got some fire stuff too.
She's got talent, man. Yeah. Annabelle, Jody Ferguson, professional regular guy. They all got talent, man. And then I've been working on some stuff with my boy Sincerely Collins.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's another one I've been – I'm trying to see. I'm looking at some of the stuff that I wrote down. It's Transition, All in the Zone, Past You, Hard. That's the four that I'm like really stood out to me.
Time. Hey, those are some five songs. I appreciate y'all for loving it too, man. That's cool. Nothing's better. I got so much joy from – I think I get more joy from people appreciating the art and the music that I create versus – punting the ball. And not saying that punting the ball isn't fun, like, and I don't get joy from it. I enjoy it. But like when you create your own thing, just like y'all's podcast, it's a different kind of like love.
Passion. It's like putting yourself out there in a way different, a different way where people are going to judge you differently. And it takes a lot, you know, You know,
listen, it speaks to a person's character to say, I'm going to put this product out there and there's a chance it might suck. You know what I mean? And like, you have to deal with that. You gotta deal with stuff like that and the naysayers and the people that are saying, why is this guy doing this or why is this guy doing that? You're obviously living proof, Marquette, that things have panned out for you if football, you know, doesn't. But look, as fans, me and Gooch, we want you punting on Sundays again.
I'm a big advocate, man. As we grow, we're gonna get the name out there. Marquette King belongs in the league.
We gotta get like t-shirts made up. I don't know what we gotta do. We'll do something for you because we got to get you back in the league. And I don't know how many contacts I have in Dallas, but Jerry's been dealing with the Dak stuff, so I don't want to bother him too much. But I tell you right now, it's going to happen. You know, you're going to will it into existence. You've already done it with all the positivity. Before we let you go, man, and of course, on behalf of myself and Gooch, we want to thank you for coming on, sharing this story. But as far as the immediate, right now, what is Marquette doing right now? And it's not, and I know for a fact, it's not just putting on awesome content on Instagram. There's got to be something else in the works. What's going on?
Right
now, you can relax too. It's fine.
Yeah, I just been chilling, man. Like, I've been working really hard, getting back in, not gonna lie to kicking balls and just staying ready can get difficult. And I do a lot of other fun things like doing the music and stuff. So I've been focusing on doing that. I'm a wine connoisseur. I love red wine. So I do that in my off time too. And, but Marquay King ready. He's ready for whatever. He's ready to play. He's not trying to look for anything other than the NFL. The NFL is the main focus. And if I could leave a message with anybody that's listening to this podcast, continue to be yourself. No matter what, don't let anybody dictate your happiness. And, trust the process. The process is hard. Trust the process. And don't judge people if you don't know who they are.
Great. Amazing, man. I got one more question for you, bro.
One more. Okay. Who's your dream, Gooch?
Who's your dream collab? I got to know.
Man, I really want to do something with Calvin Harris. He's hard to get in contact with, though. But I really want to do a song with Calvin Harris. He's one of my favorite artists ever.
Got
to
get Amber Leigh on it. She landed us Marquette King.
She landed us Marquette King, so now she's going to land you Calvin Harris. That's how it's going to be. Marquette, man, thank you so much for joining us on Chop Sports Podcast. And, of course, all the success in the world. You got two big fans here of yours. And thanks, we're rooting for you, man.
I appreciate y'all so much.
Been a pleasure.
LVC Transport specializes in roll-off waste removal for small home renovations, house cleanouts, and mid to large construction projects. LVC Transport offers homeowners and contractors a variety of dumpster solutions. Tell us about your project and we'll help you get the job done on time. LVC prides ourselves in safety and reliable service. Call today for a free estimate at 908-705-3006. Sunflower Meadow Seasoning is a local small business that offers customers quality dry herbs and seasoned packets to create appetizers, seasoned dishes, desserts, drinks, and much more. Our products consist of a variety of different blends such as French onion, BLT, creamy cucumber, and Cajun country. We offer dip blends, seasoned shakers, and smoothie mixes. Check out our website at www.sunflowermeadowseasoning.com for all of our unique items.
What a fantastic, fantastic interview, dude. What a good time. You know, when we go into things like this, you worry about it because, you know, we're going in blind. You know, Amber hooked it up. Thank you again for Amber, our little personal PR girl, sort of, kind of, why not? You know, she hooked it up. We get this interview. You don't know how these guys are going to be. You know what I mean? They could be very standoffish. They could be very like, I'm the man. You know, this guy was just humble and just looking. We got to get his ass back in the league, dude. Like, yeah, for real.
He brought a different kind of energy, man. I wasn't ready for that. I mean, I was kind of because I watched him play.
Right.
But it was exciting when we finally got to talk to him. He was just a normal dude.
Yeah.
You know, looking to make it for himself in the music industry, looking to make it back into the league, which he fucking belongs back in the league, dude.
Dude, you crunch those numbers, and I was, you know, he just kind of sits there and nods his head because he knows, you know, like, is the NFL literally once again standing for the no fun league, bro? Like, they just don't want a guy like him as the punter. You can do it. You could do it as a corner. You could do it as a wide receiver. You could do it as a running back. Hell, there's even Lamar Jackson at quarterback. You know, you can be this flashy, dashy guy, but you can't do that as a punter. I said the same thing about Pat McAfee, bro. Like, these guys, they deserve a spot, everybody else.
Like, the proof is in the pudding at this point.
Yeah.
He's definitely been blackballed. You look at the numbers, it's all you need to see. I mean, dude, he would have ranked third. Did he regress that much? He didn't have, like, a life-threatening fucking injury.
Right.
I see his workouts on YouTube. I see his Instagram. You follow this guy on social media, he's a fucking beast.
Right.
Like, he could probably play wideout.
Right.
You know, like.
Remember, he said he got tired of running routes. You know what I mean? He wanted to do something else. So he did something else.
That's how he learned to punt, because he wouldn't. I mean, I kind of brought this up in the interview. He, like, would get work in after practice, and since the quarterback wasn't willing to do extra work, he would punt the ball to himself and he would, like, run underneath it. So he was running fly routes.
I guess that's how it starts, dude.
You know,
like, that's how it starts. And, like, again, a great guy. You know, we need to get him back in the league. We got to get him back here, you know, with us.
We're gonna
again
do, he wants to do a an in session or like a live thing where we drink wine and get a little,
yeah, you know, he's a big wine guy. You know, the worst
wine, bring a bottle of wine, come through Mattawan, New Jersey, bro.
The
come
worst
to the Level Up Studios.
The worst hangover I've ever had in my life was after two bottles of wine. The worst.
I've never. I mean, I got, like, wine buzzed last night.
Oh yeah, well, that, it was like, yeah, I don't. I can't get into it. Like, I can't get into it, man.
Wine gives me heartburn, bro.
Right. I eat enough red sauce. I don't need more red stuff in my life. That's just not, it's not going to be good. But, you know, thank you again to Marquette King, man. An awesome get. Definitely is our first interview of many, you know. Coming up next week, you know, we're bringing on a friend of mine. His name's Clark Coe. He works for NFL Swag now. He works for Next Level Culture. Another guy who came up, played ball, you know, unfortunate injury, but he'll tell you the story. You know, we definitely had a great time with him, and we're going to feature him as flag football makes its way to Carteret, New Jersey, and hopefully Woodbridge too. So there's a lot of cool things coming up for the Chop Sports Podcast. We want to also thank all of our sponsors, because without you guys, you know, we're definitely not in here. We definitely don't have the lighting and the sound and all this stuff. This is what you guys have helped put into Chop Sports. And of course, we want to thank, you know, the guys that are contributing on the Chop Sports Facebook page. Without that,
Danimal.
Especially the Danimal, ranked number one on the Chop 8. You know, Jim Slobin is right behind him. I know Sean said he's driving again, so he's back to work.
It fucking sounds like an excuse.
It does sound like an excuse. Step your game up, Sean.
Bro, you need a Goggins hour in the morning. I'll send you the audio book. Get your fucking shit straight. I don't want to hear your excuses. Ray Ray is another one. Oh, it's a rigged list. The fuck you mean? We don't rig the fucking list. No.
It's not a MySpace
Shout
top
out to
8.
Ray Ray, though. He's been fucking stepping his game up, and he's not just putting out bullshit content. I like the content he's putting out.
So you're telling me he's not telling you what he's watching at night?
Wait, the animal's like, bro, I just picked a Dinkleberry and LeBron James dunked it over Kobe. And I was like, wait.
You know, Kobe, not for nothing. Kobe probably can't play good defense at this moment. So, you know, I'm just like, there it is. I'm calling it how I see it, folks. But, all right, RIP Kobe, I love you to death. We have the Mamba mentality here on the Chop Sports Podcast, so we're very excited that you guys have decided to join us this week, every week. Do yourself a favor, subscribe, rate, review, leave a good review. I did see one 4-star review, kind of bugged me the wrong way, but it said Packer Dad or Packer Pop. I immediately thought it was your father.
How about this? It's 100% my father.
It is your father. I knew it.
And it's the same thing. I'm going to go in and have him fix it because my girl left this glowing review. Shout out to Ash. Ash Mirfit. You can follow her on Instagram as well.
Yep.
She left a glowing review. A 4-star. She left a 1-star review. But no.
No, she left a glowing review.
Could you help me here?
Yes, I got you.
Struggling.
Glowing review. The words, the verbiage, it was beautifully written, and then gave it 1-star. So therefore, that wasn't accurate. So Packer Pop, Packer Dad, whatever the hell your name, Mr. Gucci, please, can you go back in there? Leave a 5-star
review. Now, you want to talk about review.
You know what's funny?
Wine drunk.
You know what's funny, though? We talk about this before as we wrap things up. We haven't talked in like a long time, right? But I do recall one Jets Packers game that I went to with you, your dad, your sister.
Oh, dude, tailgate. Legendary.
Oh, my God.
The entire lot
was full of Packer fans, and I was in the middle like a schmuck, you know, being the Cowboy fan. Like, I don't know what it was for. I guess I'll
remember. Fun times, though.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't remember a goddamn thing about it, but it was fun. That's where it all started.
My brother-in-law was there with my sister. Now, they weren't married yet.
I think they were dating at the time.
But he's also a Cowboys fan.
Yes, he is.
Did you see the brawl in the parking lot after that game?
No.
Bro, you were probably somewhere else.
Was he involved?
Yeah, it was him. I was like, what the fuck?
Would he wear Cowboys shit or no?
I'm walking back, like, celebrating, and I'm like, yo, there's a fight. Holy shit. I run up, and it's my fucking soon-to-be brother-in-law.
Did you jump on top of him? Did you help him?
Honestly, I was, like, kind of breaking it up, but then like I didn't know. It was like a very weird situation.
That's hilarious.
He pulled out like a I don't want to say, you know.
He pulled out the 9mm and he put it up to his head. No.
The statute of limitations on these things.
Yeah, but that's so funny. But yeah, I brought that up because I mean that hey, listen, maybe the Chop Sports seed was planted on that day and it just took like a decade to bloom.
Oh, dude, this has been a fucking decade in the making.
This is great. This is everything I wanted it to be. We're just getting started. We got a lot of things on the horizon. Thank you again to the sponsors. We'll wrap this up. We will see you guys next week on the Chop Sports Podcast. But until then, keep, you know, posting in the group, doing your thing, contributing, getting to that Chop 8. And so we'll see you guys next week.